would invite you, brethren, to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read chapter 4, 7 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And lastly, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is a lesson of encouragement I would provide for you this morning, brethren, and for all of us. One thing that we Christians need on a constant basis is encouragement. We need encouragement from the troubles that we go through in life. As somebody who's been awake basically every single night for the last week, I can tell you that I've needed encouragement. And I'm sure that Jeff has too, with the sicknesses that we've been going through. And many of us need encouragement at times, because we go through different things. Brother Bruce is a man who needs a lot of encouragement. I can tell you that. And he can tell you that, and Trish can tell you that. Because he's going through many, many ordeals, many difficulties. And all of us will go through many difficulties in life. And we need encouragement in those times. And where better place can you get encouragement than from God Himself, than from the Word of God Himself, that He has provided for us to be able to read at any time? In this free country, without even persecution today, there's no reason, brethren, that we should be discouraged to the fullest amount, that we should lose heart in Jesus Christ, that we should lose confidence, boldness, and hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus is reliable. Jesus is always there for us. God is always there for us. He's always going to be there when we pray to Him, not just for needs, but for thanksgivings. God is there for us, and God is there to hear us. We can be strengthened in Christ at any time, should we choose. We can be strengthened in Christ by furthering ourselves in the Scripture and study, by furthering ourselves in prayer and struggling with God. And that's one thing, brethren, I would tell you about prayer. Prayer is not something that we just do for formality. It's not a formality. It's a thing that we do from the heart. It's a struggle with God, even, we might say. That we are giving our requests to God, but not just those. We're giving our heart to God. We're giving our all to God. And we're asking God to help us in times of need. We're giving our love to God. We're giving the entirety of our true selves to God in prayer. Prayer is something that certainly helps the soul to further in the faith and to be encouraged as well. And all of this to say, do not lose heart. As we can read in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Understand that God, being a mighty God, that God being a strong and powerful God, an omnipotent, all-powerful God, is something to be confident in, is something to be strengthened in. And we should never be discouraged, never lose that heart that we have in Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 31, in verse 6, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, we can read there, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And of course, you can read the reaffirmation of that in Hebrews. God being with us at all times is certainly a truth that we Christians should always remember. We can look in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct, and also 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? As Christians, we should not lose our energy for doing work for God. We should not lose our patience with our fellow man. We should not lose our patience with our brethren in Christ. We should not ever allow our spiritual strength, even in fighting the devil and all sin and evil in this world, to be able to diminish or to be able to be entrapped by a snare that Satan may lay for us. We should never let our spiritual strength diminish to a point, well, to any point, of course. We should always strive to be for that perfection in Jesus Christ, strive to be like God, well, realizing that we'll never achieve it completely as Jesus did, but striving for it and trying for it as the Scriptures so tell us to do. Not allowing God and spiritual things to be second in our life, to be something that's an afterthought, as we even talked about in our class today. Only going to God in prayer for needs and not for anything else. Not in genuineness of heart and asking for other, or not just asking, but thanking God for things, but only going in times of need. Why don't we pray to God in all times the same amount? Whenever we're thankful for something, or rather, whenever we need something, we pray just the same amount as we do whenever, at any other time, really. Don't lose yourself as a Christian and abandon God because something bad happens in this life. Brethren, one thing that I would remind us is that God is not the reason that this world is in chaos. God is not the reason that we have all of these viruses, that we have all of these problems. In the beginning, everything was made what? Good. Everything was made good. And then what happened? Sin entered the factor because man chose to sin and woman chose to sin. When they chose to sin, of course, calamity entered the equation because God stepped back. In the beginning, it's presumed that all things were even plant eaters. And then eventually, things would become carnivorous. Things would become meat eaters, even as man was able to eventually also eat meat as God would provide for them. And so we understand that calamity came because of sin, that chaos entered because of sin. And why? Because God stepped back. God was no longer controlling all of these things, such as even human age, as He was before. God would tell man in the book of Genesis that they would eventually die and they would return to the dust from whence they came, as we all will, sitting in this audience and me in this pulpit. Brethren, we need to understand that sin is the thing that leads to death. It makes God have to step back and no longer be able to help us because God can have no fellowship with evil. God cannot take part with it. He cannot do it. And so whenever we choose it, He steps back and chaos enters the equation. So for us to, of course, blame God in these times of need, God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? God had to step back in the past, and of course, sin entered the world and calamity. All of it has covered the face of this earth for ages and ages and ages, for generations. And that is not God's fault. We even today, how many of us have sinned? All of us have sinned. Everyone in this audience has sinned. I have sinned. All of us have been greedy at times, perhaps. All of us have maybe perhaps even lied at times, done things we shouldn't in different ways, maybe coveted things we shouldn't, whatever example you want to give as far as sin. But we have that redemption that we have through Jesus Christ always awaiting us as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you can have the ability to have that redemption in Jesus Christ. If you would, follow what the New Testament tells us to do. And believing in Jesus Christ, turning from your sins, confessing Him as the Christ in Romans 10:9-10, and of course being baptized into water for remission of your sins to be added to the kingdom of God as they were in Acts chapter 2. Those souls being added to the church daily. You can do the same thing today. Protect your soul with God and His Word, despite how life grieves you and tries you. Remain focused on the spiritual goal. Press on through this challenging and trying life. Again, realizing that God is not the reason that I have a virus right now. God is not the reason that you have a virus right now, or whatever it is, put it in place, cancer, whatever it is. God is not at fault for such a thing. Because everything in the beginning was good. Now here's a point that I would make that not many times people think about. If you think about back in the beginning, how everything was perhaps plant eaters, think about that on a micro level. You ever looked under a microscope before? And how, of course, things are, there's such thing as viruses, there's such thing as parasites. Well, perhaps those things were not meat-eating, or not maybe even blood-eating before. Perhaps those things also were plant eaters. Perhaps those things also were not causing death, because sin was the thing, of course, that brought all that calamity and death. Well, brethren, because God had to take a step back, understanding, again, in conclusion, that God is not at fault for all of these different sufferings that we have in this life, because this world was made good. This world was made perfect. But when sin enters, because of the ignorance and because of the choice of mankind throughout every age, sin will destroy everything that is good. During this life, though, God does take care of us, as we just read there in that Hebrews passage. God always takes care of our physical needs as Christians. He always takes care of not just those, but most importantly, our spiritual needs. Not just things we have on this earth, which we should be content with, but things in heaven. He certainly takes care of us as we're awaiting that hope. Remaining focused on that spiritual goal through the trying life, Philippians 3:14, many passages we can turn to help us, even as we just read there, 2 Corinthians 7 through 15, understanding that we're going to go through trials and persecutions, and we're going to be hard-pressed on every side at times. And it seems like everybody's going to be against us. You ever felt like that? I have. I'm sure many of us have in different ways. But still, we have God who's on our side, and He is the powerful one, whether or not we lose our life. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God that He will deliver you from whatever situation it is. He will deliver you in the right manner. Remember in this life that we need to make it about getting to heaven. We need to make it about living for Christ, living for God. We do not need to make it about living for ourselves first. Some people live in that mindset, brethren and friends, that everything is about me, myself, and I. It's not. There are many other people on this world who have thoughts and feelings and emotions and souls. And we need to care for them just as God does. And we need to care for our own soul, even, and make sure that we are well-pleasing in the sight of God as well. We can understand if we go to Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, 1 through 2, and some of the most common verses that most people know from the Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then, of course, if you go through that section of passage there, verses 3 through 7, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That didn't say requesting of needs, giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And lastly, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, verse 8, walk as children of light. And as we walk as children of light, brethren, we can be encouraged that we have hope in Jesus Christ. We can have courage that we have a victory no matter what happens to us, no matter what virus or cancer we might get in this life. People who are on their deathbed, people who are told they have 3 weeks to live, they can understand, if they are a Christian, that they have a home after this life that is awaiting them. That evolution is not true. That atheism and all that it works to try to do and putting away all religion is not certainly something that should be valid. It's not something that should be true. Not something that should be anything in this life. Atheism and evolution leads to nothing. It leads to death and then nothing. But if there is a God, is the question that they never seem to want to get around to. They have to accept the fact that if there is a God, they don't get the home in heaven, which is the contrary, hell. And so they get that second option. And so ultimately, atheism, evolution leads to death in every scenario. Is this life it? No, it is not. This life is not it. This life has design in it. This life has beauty in it. This life has many blessings that we can enjoy. Even sinners in this world who are not yet Christians can enjoy the blessings of God in this life. But if we choose to have faith in Jesus Christ, once we hear the Word of God, once we choose to believe Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, confess Him, and then of course be baptized, we can become Christians and then be saved from our sins, and we can be inheritors of the kingdom of heaven when we pass from this life, which could be at any time. We have the victory no matter what through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 there says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Very clearly there. Revelation chapter 22 as well. Revelation 22, I mentioned my favorite verse in the Bible. Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are those who do," or rather let's start in verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Verse 15, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." You understand that all evolution, all atheism, if it is not true, rests in verse 15. It ultimately leads to death. No life involved, no life giver involved, such as God, but it all leads to death. No victory, only defeat. Not just in this life, but also in the afterlife. We have an inheritance, Christians, with God. Be encouraged, despite evil that attacks us on a daily basis. We have that inheritance. We have a gift from God, not even because of us. We have the gift of Jesus Christ awaiting us, the ability to become one in His body. We have that because of the grace of God, because He is a loving and a merciful God. We have that gift all the time awaiting us. God gives it to us willingly by His grace and love. After we show works of faith to obtain it, certainly will we obtain it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 is not the only verses in the Bible. We've had an entire lesson on understanding God's grace, and we understand that we compare Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 with the book of James and its concepts of works of faith. And that works of merit, as far as doing something to deserve our salvation, is not possible. We cannot tell God, "You owe me," but rather, we owe God, because God has given us life. God has given us blessings. We cannot do something to deserve those things, to where God is owing us. Brethren, again, though, all this aside is a side lesson. The gift we have from God, be confident in it. Be confident in that gift. Continue showing works of faith that we might be worthy of it, as you can look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, in the Great Hall of Faith. Those people did something to inherit a reward that they could not see. They did something to inherit a home that they were not yet in. Do the same thing that you might also inherit that home. Likewise, myself. We must be workers in the kingdom. We must be evangelists. And I would also, another side lesson here, What is evangelism? What is it? Is it just reaching out to new souls? Or is it also taking care of those who are already in the body of Christ because we need to be encouraged, because we need to be taken care of? Is that not also included within evangelism? Certainly it is. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't go out and spread the gospel to new souls. Certainly we should, and we are commanded to. But we are also not going to be able to do that if we do not take care of our own souls. If we're all lost, if we all are not studying the Scriptures, how can we take care of somebody else? Is that not reasonable? Of course. Brethren, we must take care of ourselves. We must be encouraged. We must not lose heart so that we might be able to continue to spread that gospel also to other people out there in the world. Evangelism is taking care of everyone's souls, ours included, with the gospel. Our outward man is perishing, brethren. We need to understand this as we can read 2 Corinthians 4:16 again. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man again is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. We understand from there, as well as many other passages, that our bodies are only temporary vessels. They're things that we have for a short time, but then they pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You continue, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Continue with me. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Like it says in the book of Hebrews, what are we? Are we citizens of the United States alone? Or are we citizens of heaven most of all? We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven first as Christians. Our culture, our tradition, our kingdom, our nation is heaven first, not the United States. I love this country. I'm proud that I was born in it. I was born in the state of Missouri. I love that state as well. I love Arkansas. I've come to love it even more as I've been here. But they're plots of land created by God. And God created a kingdom that is immortal, eternal, that we can live in eternally. And it's a much more beautiful place that doesn't have the coronavirus, that doesn't have cancer. And I am thankful to God that I can go there and live with Him if I live my life acceptable in His sight, as well as all of us can do the same thing. Do not lose heart over such things, over such trials and problems that happen in life. We're going to have losses. People are going to pass away. It is up to God's judgment whether or not they go to heaven or to hell. That is God's judgment alone. We can judge with righteous judgment in this life, but don't let ultimately yourself become a stricter judge, even as the Bible condemns not to be. Let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. And be encouraged, not discouraged. Whatever happens with your brethren, whatever happens with the world, if people even fall away from the faith, don't be discouraged from Christ. Be encouraged to rather try to help them to come back to Christ, or to try to never let the same thing happen to you. Don't let evil and bad things tempt you away from Jesus Christ. Let it only challenge you to become stronger. Understand that our bodies are a tent, our bodies break down, they don't last, our bodies are not built to last an eternity on this earth. All of us have problems and sicknesses and injuries. I have a cut on me from my cat. I love my cat, but she cuts me sometimes, and my body has to heal. I get sicknesses sometimes whenever I visit certain people. I get sicknesses from, maybe we pass sicknesses on from each other. Maybe this RSV has been coming through us. I don't know. But still, once again, the point is, this life, this body, it can be infected. It can be pained. It's temporary. It's not meant to be like the heavenly body, to be like the immortal body that we have within us. It's not meant to be that. Because sin destroyed that ability, destroyed that opportunity. But the interesting thing about that, brethren, is because God understood that this would happen, He prepared Jesus Christ even before the foundation of the world and always planned that He would come and save us. He knew it would happen. He knew Jesus even would carry that out. And of course, we have an even greater inheritance awaiting us to live with God as a neighbor. Is that not a beautiful thing? That one day, think about this concept, you might be able to hug God and say thank you directly face to face. See Him, see what He looks like in His actual glory, not just a manifestation of a pillar of fire or cloud, but actually see Him. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Not even as Jesus, as He was as flesh, but to see God as a spirit. Is that not a beautiful thought? As we're also a spirit. Understand, brethren, again, this life is temporary. If there is not a spirit within us, if there's not something after this life, there is nothing. There is death. There is hopelessness. Why are we even living at all? What's the point? If there is a God, we better get right with Him. Because if He's there, He's the one deciding where we're going after this life once we put off this body. Whenever we go from the state of being in a physical body to the state of being in a spiritual body, God is the one who determines where that spiritual body that He made goes. As we were all made in the image of God, He determines where that soul will go. Understand those things, brethren. Always keep them in mind. Our bodies are appointed to live on this earth for a time, to serve God, to do His will, and then built eventually to die. And again, that's not God's fault. Sin was the reason, and our choice was the reason as mankind. We even chose to sin today. You don't think we were going to do it back in the day like Adam and Eve were? If we do it today, we were going to make that same mistake. So brethren, don't go on blaming Adam and Eve, because all of us would have made that same mistake. If we sin today, we would have made that same mistake, is my conclusion. Hebrews 9:27. Is it appointed man to die once, and after that, what? The judgment. So don't lose heart spiritually because your physical body is breaking down. Death is not the end of life for the child of God. Romans 6:22 through 23, if you read both of those passages. Romans 6:22 through 23 says there, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin, though, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gift of God, the thing that God wants to give us, that He wants to share with us. Now, when I say that word share, what do we mean? Go over to John 14. John 14, you know where we're going. John 14, 1 through 4. When we say the word share, am I going to share my mansion with somebody else in heaven? Is somebody else going to take up all the room? No. I'm going to get my own mansion, and some other Christian or some other child of God from whatever age is going to get their own mansion. That's a beautiful thought. It's not going to be limited space. Heaven's all full. Can't take any more. Sorry. No, it's unlimited. It's a perfect place. 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. He was teaching his disciples these things. He's teaching us these things as these things are preserved through in the Word of God for us to read today. If we follow also as disciples of Jesus Christ, we can have that same hope for mansions in heaven. So stop caring so much more about the body than the soul. Stop caring about all the worries and the trivial things in this life. Care more about your spirit, about where it's going to go after this life. Are you going to inherit heaven? That's a question you need to ask yourself. And if you can say yes, then praise God for that. Truthfully. If you can truthfully say yes, and you can be confident that I'm going to heaven because I'm living a life of a Christian. I was baptized into Christ. That means I'm in the body. I've received remission of sins. I am a part of the kingdom of God. I am in it. Then praise be to God if you're living a life of a faithful Christian. If you're not a Christian, though, you have to become a Christian like they were doing in Acts chapter 2 in order to be in Christ's kingdom. In His body. If you're not a Christian, then how can you be sure of your salvation? People say, I believe in a faith only and I don't need to be baptized. Well, then why does the Bible bring up baptism? I'm sorry, you can't cut the verse out. You just can't. Because it's always still going to be there in the original text. Baptism was required of disciples of Christ, or would-be disciples of Christ, in the first century. And so, likewise, it should be required of would-be disciples of Christ in the 21st century. In every single century. Brethren, friends who are not yet Christians, if you would like to become a Christian today, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you are willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, if you are willing to turn away from a life of sin that leads to death, as we read there in Romans 6:23, and you want the gift of God that is eternal life, turn away from the sin that's trying to take you to death. Don't let sin lie at your door anymore and destroy you constantly on a daily basis. Be saved. Be redeemed by Jesus Christ. Be completely washed clean of your sins by then being baptized into water for remission of your sins. And to be added to God's beautiful kingdom. If you're ready to do those things as the New Testament, the Bible, God teaches, then you are ready to become a Christian. You are ready to start your walk with Christ. And you are ready to remain faithful unto your death that you might receive the beautiful home in heaven that we all have waiting for us. Are you ready for the judgment day? Am I ready for the judgment day? That's not my question to answer, or that's not for yours to answer that for me. That's not mine to answer that for you. Each of us has to ask that question to his own or her own heart. Are you a Christian? Are you a non-faithful Christian? Are you a faithful Christian? These questions ask your own heart today. Whatever it might be, whatever need you have, we would ask that you would come to the front and allow us to help you in whatever way it is. Stand and let's praise God together, if you would.
Oh. God.